In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you like variety? Do you like having options? What would your reaction be if you were on vacation and looking for a restaurant and you came to this place that had a salad bar with only lettuce, a few tomatoes, and maybe some sketchy looking cucumber slices? Are you going to go back to a buffet that only has plain pork chops and nothing else? Henry Ford once said that people buying a car could have any color they wanted as long as it was. I see many people are old enough to remember that. Me included. Of course, Ford cars and other brands today are just about every color imaginable. Many alternatives are a way of life in our ever-shrinking, ever more diverse world. Those who offer a three-item salad bar, a one-item buffet, or a car in only one color will not stay in business for long. Yet the Bible teaches us that when it comes to people, there really are only two types. Those who believe and trust in God, and those who do not. Believers and unbelievers. That's because there is only one Savior. We can see this distinction of two types of people in our reading today, in our readings today. Our Old Testament reading from Proverbs 9 makes a distinction between the wise and the foolish. This is followed up with the epistle from Ephesians, where Paul speaks of people as either unwise and wise. He makes a distinction that's very similar to the Gospel of John when he speaks of darkness and light. And that this is what he says in Ephesians 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Continuing from last week, Jesus proclaimed in the gospel today from John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. Throughout the gospel, we can see the very same distinction between the two kinds of people in the world. This time, it's done in the context of table fellowship and the Eucharistic meal. There are those who, as believers, partake of the body and blood of Jesus. That is to say, they believe in Jesus as the crucified one and the source of life. They eat his flesh and drink his blood, and in so doing, have life in them. Verse 53 of the gospel says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" The thought here is quite shocking. Those who will not eat and drink of Jesus' blood, flesh and blood are spiritually dead. Moreover, those who do not believe this eating and drinking of Jesus' flesh and blood are dead already. Earlier in the Gospel of John, he writes, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." In the verses we read from John chapter 6 today, Jesus says that even among his own disciples, the distinction between the two types of people holds true. There are the disciples who believe Jesus and his words, and others who do not. John then brings out this contrast between two types of people by mentioning Peter and Judas Iscariot. The unbelievers finally leave when Jesus proclaims the gospel and the eating of his body and blood. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and asks them, "Do you want to go away as well?" But Simon Peter answered Jesus with the familiar words that have become even part of our liturgy. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And Peter finishes with a similar confession of Jesus that he had said in Matthew 16. He says, "And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." In sharp contrast to his naming Peter, Jesus does not name Judas, but only calls him a devil. In the verse right after our reading, verse 17. And this contrast is made to illustrate that the believer is righteous, has life, receives forgiveness of sins, and is invited to partake of Jesus himself in the meal that he will institute on the eve of his own death. Much emphasis in the Christian church is placed on mission work. After all, if we take seriously the distinction that Jesus is making between believers and unbelievers, then should it not be a priority of the church to call people to faith and want to see them move from a state of unbelief to belief that they might have life? This has always been the mandate of the Christian church on earth. However, if we hear John's gospel carefully, we note that the Father gives the believer grace to believe. One does not decide or choose in themselves to believe. Why not? Because they cannot. In last week's reading, from the first half of John chapter 6, we note that Jesus says those who are believers in the first place are those that the Father gives to him. Several verses later, the point is made more strongly. Verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Today's reading repeats this truth concerning the nature of the church's mission. It says in verse 65, and he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." The one kind of people, unbelievers, can never make themselves believers. Surprisingly, neither can the other kind of people, believers. No believer or pastor is called to convert an unbeliever. As odd as that sounds at first, it is in line with the teaching of the scriptures. The church's mandate is to proclaim the good news about Jesus and invite people to repent of their sins and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit to create and bestow faith on all who believe. It's not a matter of manipulation or clever marketing techniques or appeals for people to decide to follow Jesus. A perfect example of this point is the way Paul proclaimed the gospel to the philosophers in Athens, as described in Acts chapter 17. Paul was invited to bring his message before these ancient philosophers at the famous Areopagus. What did he do? He simply proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ and that God raised him up from the dead. That's all he did. The result? A few believed, while most did not. Paul was not much of a success by this world's standards. Nevertheless, he was faithful to the calling God had given him to proclaim Jesus. Later, Paul would even write to the Corinthians on his first letter saying that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. No one can believe in Jesus in and of themselves. The Holy Spirit creates faith through the Word, and specifically through the gospel of Jesus. I can only say that I believe that by nature I am the one kind of people, an unbeliever. And I could not make myself the other kind. But the Holy Spirit has done that for me and for all of you. Inviting people to hear of Jesus is being a faithful witness to Christ. That's exactly what Andrew did to his brother Peter, as John records earlier in his gospel. And what was the result of Andrew leading Peter to Jesus? And that is exactly what we are called to do. We want everyone to become the other kind of people, to believe in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. So Jesus presents himself before you this morning in word and in sacrament. Jesus tells us that in receiving the bread and wine, we are eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and that in so doing, we are receiving the forgiveness of all our sins. Many are as offended by this today as those who heard him centuries ago when Jesus first spoke these words. And then Jesus asked us, as he did them, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, may we always confess this, as Peter did, before our Lord Jesus Christ and before those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.